And that's Nancy's sister-in-law and the wife of Jerry, passed away on Thursday, and the funeral is today. And we would certainly welcome and appreciate your prayers on behalf of Jerry and Francis and their family today in their time of sorrow. The lesson today really is not devoted to visitors, but we do appreciate your presence. But I want to talk to the members today for a while about the church here. In February of 1988, a small group of disciples started a church here in San Marcos, if I'm not mistaken, in the home of Tommy and Jackie Meadows. And when our family arrived in June of 1989, we were very impressed by the group that met here. In fact, February will mark 20 years, almost to the date, that we came here to consider moving. It was a horrible weekend. Matt wound up with stitches in his lip because Tommy and Jackie's little dog bit him. We'll blame it on Scott. And there was ice on the road, and we couldn't even meet for a morning service. They heard me preach one time, probably the worst sermon I've ever done, and for some reason or another, they decided to ask me to move, and for some reason or another, I decided to move here in spite of all the problems. And we were very impressed with the talent, with the beautiful singing, with the group here and their desire to defend the Bible, to defend the Bible pattern, to go by the Bible pattern, and to do so in love, with a great desire to make this church different in a sense, not from the sense of the Bible pattern, but to make it a vibrant and active and loving church. And over the last 19 years, we have been very blessed with the talent that we've had, with the opportunities that we have been given in the city of San Marcos. And this church has continued to grow in number and in spirit. And some of you were here when we first started, and others have come our way over a period of time, and we've been very blessed. I'm firmly convinced that the greatest or best mission field that we have had in San Marcos is the campus, the students. And the reason I say that is because, and I'm not going to name because I'd embarrass some of you or I'd forget somebody, but there are a number of students who have come our way who decided to stay. You came, we encouraged you. Some of you were converted. And it's been a blessing to see you stay and to begin to raise your own families here. In 1995, we built this building. We completed this building at 2660 Hunter Road. And in 1996, after 7 years, 7 years after my arrival, you were able to fully support me in preaching the gospel, which was, by the way, 3 years sooner than what we had planned. I had personally given a 10-year target, and in 7 years, I was being fully supported. We now help three other men, John Lassiter and Daryl Trammell and James Duvall. Others, and on other occasions, you have graciously supported me and others in going to the island of Jamaica to preach. We helped a young man by the name of David Watson get started in full-time preaching. I'm going to tell you something. I feel like I'm the richest man on earth. Oftentimes I ask, why me? I know that there are other men that are a lot more talented than I am. But you have been so gracious to me and richly blessed me by allowing me to stay and to work with this church. And God has blessed us with tremendous opportunities. We have a great location. We have wonderful people. And with those blessings will come responsibilities. My question to you today is, what will we do with the resources and opportunities that we have? And my daily prayer concerning myself and every other member of this congregation is that God will put us where He wants us, and that God will use us to His glory and uses for what is best for His cause. So what is the mission of the local church? Well, a few years ago, we had a class in this very room. And we simply asked that question. We did a Bible survey, and we began to ask, you know, what were they doing and how were they accomplishing it? And looked at the passages that dealt with collective action. And this was our conclusion, that according to the teaching of the New Testament, God's mission for the church is to glorify God by bringing the saints to Christ-like maturity, spreading the word for the saving of souls, and providing for needy saints. I believe that is God's mission, not because we decided it in the class, but because I believe that the New Testament teaches that. I think we have book, chapter, and verse for that. That the mission of the church is to edify the saints, to spread the gospel and the work of evangelism, and to provide and to care for needy saints. So my question is, so how are we doing? Are we really committed to the mission? How are we doing in fulfilling the mission that God has given us? Well, first of all, let's talk about bringing the saint to Christ-like maturity. In the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, we find the Apostle Paul making this statement in Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning with verse 11. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, where he says, "And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." It is God's the responsibility of those of the body of Christ to build up each other that they might come to this Christ-like maturity. How do we do that? Well, number one, we do it by close relationships. In fact, it's interesting that in the city of Jerusalem, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that Luke makes this observation about the church in Jerusalem when he says in verse 46, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." First of all, we do it by knowing each other, by having bonds that are close to each other, that we not know each other and can encourage each other. We do it by showing hospitality. We do it by having group meetings, by meeting in homes, and by being together, by practicing the Barnabas principle, by building a bridge. Let me encourage you. Look around sometime and find a visitor or find a new member and invite them to lunch with you on a Sunday afternoon. It's a great opportunity for you to get acquainted with a student or someone else who may be a visitor in our audience. But our vision, and when I say our vision, I'm talking about Paul and Tommy and myself, is to have a close-knit church in which the brethren are taking care of the needs of each other. Let me encourage you to practice a Barnabas principle, to leave your island and to try to build a bridge. We also do it with Bible classes and gospel meetings. So how are we doing? Let me ask you a question. Are you taking advantage of the Bible classes? If not, you should. Are you willing to teach? If not, perhaps you need to think about that possibility of getting involved. I know that some of our teachers have been back there for 10 years, and they need a break. And if you think you have the talent and would like to learn, we certainly would like to encourage you to get involved. And I'll make this observation. I think we need to reevaluate what we are doing with our adult Bible classes. And I would like to suggest that perhaps with regard to the adult Bible classes, that number one, we meet once a year, maybe in August, to plan for a year, to plan who's going to teach, to plan a curriculum so that we'll know in advance exactly what is going to happen, who's going to be teaching. And there are some of you who have come to me with some great ideas with regard to curriculum, and I'm certainly open to any suggestions because most of it has been left up to me. And I certainly would welcome any suggestions that you may have with regard to curriculum. And along that same line, Perhaps I would like for us to have maybe special sessions on marriage relationships or other relationships, and sometimes even gender issues. One of the most enjoyable and encouraging classes that I've had is with the men's class that we've had on Wednesday night on several occasions, where we just got together and we talked about issues that were confronting men, or talking about being leaders, good spiritual leaders. And we've had the 101 class, the new convert class. Perhaps we need to renew that, revisit it, rethink it. I wouldn't have a problem with even having a class, a new convert class, for some of us guys that have been around for a while, old timers, come together on a weekend, maybe a Saturday, and just go through the material and think about our mission and to recommit ourselves to the mission that God has given us. And with regard to gospel meetings, I'd like for us to reevaluate what we're doing with that. Are we really accomplishing what we want to accomplish with our gospel meeting? I'm going to tell you something, though. If you've never heard Brother Truex, you're in for a treat. If you'll make a commitment to come the last weekend of February, I assure you that he will have good lessons and very encouraging lessons. And I'd like to encourage you to come and be a part of that the last weekend of February. But perhaps we need to reevaluate what we're doing with gospel meetings. We also accomplish it with personal Bible study. Paul says to Timothy, give attention to reading that your profit may appear to all. So how's it going? How are you doing in your daily Bible reading and daily devotion? You know, in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, he says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I want to encourage you, if you're not involved, to get involved. And if you are involved, stay with it, because you will benefit. But the fact is, brethren, that we must grow spiritually or we will die. It takes imagination. It takes diligence. And it takes more than just showing up. It means being a participant. It means being a part of a team. And success in Bible classes is more than just the guy that stands up here in front of you. It's those volunteers, and there have been many wonderful ones who have come my way who are willing to make my lessons, the lesson outlines, a little more colorful than just black and white page. And I appreciate that. Those who are willing to prepare materials, and then those who are willing to get involved in teaching the class. But it takes commitment. That's our mission, to bring the saints to Christ-like maturity. Our mission is to spread the word for the saving of souls. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, the disciples were scattered, and they who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So how are we doing in this? I would like to challenge you to set a goal of inviting at least 3 people this year, and that's not impossible, to study the Bible with you or with someone. Invite, invite, invite. We can do better in this. Find a neighbor or find a friend and invite them to come and to hear the gospel. And perhaps on occasion we can just get together and talk about that. I wouldn't have a problem with coming together on a Saturday, not for a work day, but on a Saturday just to talk about how's it going, strategies, encourage each other in our efforts of trying to get the word out. And I think we can probably and need to do better in trying to do what we can to reach the students on the campus at Texas State University. But the question is, are you really convicted? Do you really believe that Jesus died for you? Does that really mean anything to you? And do you really believe that every person in this audience has one of two destinies? Either condemnation or eternal life. Do you really believe that? And if so, then that ought to drive you to share the good news of the gospel with others. I don't know how you could possibly ignore, because it is the greatest message that man has ever been given. And we also do it not only by active participation, but also by our mission work. We are now supporting John Lasseter and James Duvall and Daryl Trammell. And also, as I mentioned a minute ago, we have also supported a number of people to go to the island of Jamaica. I'd like to encourage us to continue in that. Marlon and Oretta, just the 30 minutes with them is so uplifting. And they are so encouraged by our visit. A family that lives in a very remote part of the world, the only Christians in that part of the world. And it's hard to put a dollar value on that. You can't put a dollar value on it. You know, sometimes I think we think of the church as this business. You know, it's like mutual funds. If we're not getting a good return on our investment, then maybe we shouldn't do that. No, we're sowing seed. That's what we're doing. And God will give the increase. In fact, we have been even invited to come to London to encourage Jake and Rachel. And perhaps we maybe need to revisit that possibility. But certainly we need to be involved in mission work. And we have, and we need to continue. So how are we doing? And finally, the mission of the church is to care for the needs of the saints. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, we notice that Luke records, "And they continued steadfastly," in verse 42, "in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." They were sharing with those who were in need. I want to tell you something. Nancy and I were overwhelmed with the amount of food that was placed on our table the day of Margaret's funeral. There was enough food there to feed an army. In fact, just this last week, we've had a hard week because every night we've been over at the apartment cleaning up. And Nancy hadn't had time to cook, but it was real easy. She went to the freezer, and some of the ladies had put food in the freezer, in the containers, and we pulled it out and thawed it out and microwaved it and had a meal. I would like to commend those who are so kind in getting involved in that. I want to encourage you to keep up the good work, because those things bring us together. We need that. And along the same line, we have also sent funds to Marlon Oretta in Jamaica, a very worthy and needy family, to Jackie Jolly, a very needy and worthy sister down in Montego Bay, and to others that have need. And we need to encourage, we need to continue. And we all realize that with these things come resources that are necessary for us to accomplish this work. Where will we be in 2 years? What about spiritual leaders? Will we have deacons and elders at all? Are we thinking about those things? We need to be thinking about those things, and we need to be thinking about growing in that direction. And we need to think about being committed to those things. Young men, I want to encourage you to think seriously about your life and your spiritual life and your walk, and encourage you to think about those things, because where will we be in 2 years? And along the same line, I think all of you would readily agree that one of the best things that we've done is when David Watson came our way. In fact, I would readily admit I got more out of it probably than David got out of it. But here was an opportunity to encourage a young man to spend and to prepare for a lifetime of work. I wish that I had had that opportunity when I was David's age. I didn't. I mean, it hurt me. I moved to Louisiana, and I was there for 3 years. I was telling a fellow the other day that it was pretty common on a Sunday afternoon when I would get home after the morning sermon, that there was a lady who would call me, and she was always offended by something, and she would look for something to be offended. And the phone would ring, and I'd answer it, and she would be yelling at the top of her lungs, and I'd just have to hold the phone out like that. And finally, you know, I would say, if the shoe fits, wear it. And hang up. Here was a church of about 20. We moved a built. We literally took an old Bible church building and moved it from its old property to our property, and somehow managed to remodel that building so that our huddle of 15 or 20 people could assemble in that little building in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And when the lady that used to call and scream at me, when that family finally got mad and left, that brought us down from about 20 to about 15 members. It was difficult and tough and challenging. And I wish that I'd had the opportunity that David had to not have to go through all of the other things that you have to put up with at times in preaching, just to simply spend some time in studying and learning and preparing for a lifetime of work. I pray that that opportunity will come again. And I pray that if it does, that we will have the money and facilities so that we can do that work. And what about getting members involved? I think we need to revisit that idea. To encourage people to find their niche and to do it. To make them feel a part of the family. Perhaps even to have occasions where we just kind of come together on a Saturday and talk about what we can do and what you can do. Or perhaps encourage us in the realm of personal evangelism. Because the reality is that informal workers, they are the real foundation of a church. It's not the preacher. It's the people that are willing to volunteer and work. In fact, there's a passage in the book of Philippians that Juan read the other night, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, that speaks about that very thing, where he says in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 3, that I urge you, true companions, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And in the book of Romans, the 16th chapter, I won't take time to read it, there is a whole list of names of people that were just simply laborers in the gospel. The heart and soul and the success of a local church is based upon those who are willing to do that work. It takes a team to make it work. So I would like to encourage us to get everyone involved in this work. And we know that it sometimes takes money to do the things that we want to do. I was looking back through some of the records. Back when I was being supported, I would write letters to the churches supporting me. And I had written a letter that 1 month the average contribution was about $800 a week. I had received a phone call from Fry Road, who was supporting me a substantial amount, that they were going to be cutting my support within a month. I took it to Tommy and John. They said, challenge the people. I did. And in 1 month, we had gone from 800 to 1,600 a week in 1 month. And we never looked back. Because when we have a work to do, God always has a way. He helps us to find a way. If our mind is upon doing His will, doing His truth, He always will help us to find a way. And I may be getting ahead of myself, but I think most of you know that there's been a great deal of buzz about the possibility of adding to our building. I kind of like that idea, but I want to ask a question. Who are we going to put in the building? We need to think about that. I hope that we are going to grow in number. That's the anticipation, and I like that vision, and I like that idea. Not because I want to grow in number, but because we're reaching lost souls, bringing souls to Christ. And we talked about the need of a nursery, and I think that's wonderful. We do need. I mean, God bless his heart, Alton has doubled our size. Alton and Heather have doubled the size of our baby population, and so. We need to do that to make these ladies comfortable. And I would like to see us add an office for a preacher, not me. That's not who I'm talking about. Because when that young man comes, that we get involved, I don't want us to do what we did to David. We gave David a closet for an office. I want to do that again. That little room down the hallway is not sufficient for an office. David never said a word. He never complained. You know, just unassuming. I remember days when I would come down to the building and he would be huddled in that little room with his laptop computer. And you know, just, well, everyone knows the character of David. But we can do better than that. And I would like to see us think about these things. But mainly, I want us to be committed to the mission. I want you to think about every day the mission God has given you and given us. Are we committed to the mission? Are we committed to bringing saints to Christ-like maturity? Are we really committed to the spreading of the word for the saving of souls? And are we committed to the work of providing for needy saints? Are we committed? It is our mission. And if we are committed, then certainly God will bless us in the way that He chooses to bless us. You know, I've had people come and they say, "Boy, I sure like your singing. I'd like to join your church." There's obviously a lot of problem with that idea, and I know they mean well. But my response is, I'm not concerned about you joining our church. That's not my concern. My concern is, are you in the body of Christ, the one that the Lord adds to, the one that Paul spoke about in Ephesians chapter 5? Are you in the saved relationship that can only be accomplished through the blood of Jesus? That's my concern for you today. I don't know your relationship. I don't know who you are. I don't know your need. But if you've never been baptized into Christ and added to that body, you need to be. Because the most important decision you'll ever make is the decision to just be a Christian. And to never look back and to stay committed to Him as the Lord and Master of your life and ultimately the Savior of your soul. If you're here today and wish to be baptized into Christ, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song Selected.